For centuries, Gregorian chant, you can hear it there in the background, has been the sound of the High Church at the Vatican. This ethereal, angelic music is made to sound deliberately cut off from earthly, planetary concerns. But in recent years, the meditative qualities of Gregorian chant have found their way into spas and yoga retreats. Yes, the Catholic Church has become hip. This is just one of a number of New Age recordings of nature sounds and Gregorian chants mixed together. They make the statement that nature and the church are in harmony, but in fact, that has not been the case until recently.
Hi, this is Eileen McGuire from Westfield, New Jersey. I am Roman Catholic, and I have never heard environmental issues discussed at Mass in my 49 years.
Thanks, Eileen. She called 877-8-MY-TAKE to answer the question, does the environment come up as an issue in your place of worship?
Hi, my name is Jason. I'm from San Ramon. Having worked in evangelical ministry and served in leadership, I have firsthand knowledge of the struggle it can be to even bring up the environment as a point of discussion. Too many Christian leaders, paid and lay, see this issue through a God versus secular paradigm rather than an issue of health, stewardship, and responsibility. There is unfortunately a mindset that believing there are grand environmental problems is the same thing as believing God is not sovereign over everything. Thus, forcing the issue from a scientific discussion to a theological one where the depth of one's faith is called into question.
Thanks, Jason. And it is this issue, among others, that Pope Francis apparently intends to take head-on as he delivers his first encyclical since becoming pope and the first papal encyclical in history on the environment. Is this a turning point, a continuation of the narrative in the book of Genesis? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and much later, humans made a big mess of it all. The Reverend James Martin is a Jesuit priest and joins us now. He's editor-at-large of America Media. He's the author of several books, including Jesus, A Pilgrimage. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
So is this a real turning point in terms of the Catholic Church's relationship to the planet in some theological way?
Absolutely. An encyclical is one of the highest levels of teaching authority. And when the Pope issues it on Thursday, it will put it squarely in front of all Catholics. And, you know, certainly there have been reflections on the environment all the way back to Genesis and, you know, biblical scholars and theologians. But, you know, this really puts it center stage and the Pope puts his whole teaching authority behind it.
What do you expect will be the tone here? Kind of fire and brimstone, the planet is punishing, you know, kind of a Sodom and Gomorrah kind of story? Or is it going to be more the sense of we have to learn lessons here from what's going on in the environment, that God is trying to teach us something here?
No, it's definitely not going to be fire and brimstone. I mean, there have been, you know, popes in the past, St. John Paul and Pope Benedict, you know, and Pope Francis himself, who have spoken about care from the environment. And, you know, the idea is that, you know, God asks us to, you know, till and keep the earth, as they say in the book of Genesis. And as Cardinal Turkson said a few months ago, one of the Pope's advisors, we have, you know, tilled too much and kept too little. So, no, I think it'll be a sober look at the reality of our situation and also try to inspire both believers and non-believers to look at some of what the Pope has to say.
So how does this relate to issues that were evoked by our listener, the idea that God maybe isn't sovereign over everything if humans have a lot of discretion over the climate on the planet?
Well, God is sovereign over everything, but we also have free will. And our actions, you know, I think everybody agrees today, have led to the current crisis that we're in now. So, you know, the understanding is, you know, our role in terms of caring for God's creation. So, you know, creation is a holy thing that we have to reverence and not just, you know, kind of trample on and run roughshod over.
Do you expect Pope Francis to fuse a concern for the environment with statements he's already made about materialism and that other popes have made, for that matter, materialism, unbridled consumption of energy, for instance?
I'm not sure what the Pope's going to say, but, you know, certainly in the past he has been very clear about sort of untrammeled market forces and the way that they influence our consumption. And, of course, that consumption influences how we treat the planet and, you know, certainly the inequities between richer nations and poorer nations, where the poorer nations, you know, end up having to bear the brunt of some of the richer nations' development. So we shall see.
What do you make of politicians who have said, some who have said, you know, mind your own business, Pope? That's what Rick Santorum has seemed to suggest, and even Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe.
Well, honestly, that's baffling to me. You know, care for the environment, you know, goes as far back as the book of Genesis. I mean, Jesus talked about, you know, love for the environment. The popes have talked about it. If they were paying attention, Pope John Paul and Pope Benedict both talked about it. And, you know, I can't think of any more important issue right now. You know, if you're going to dismiss papal encyclicals on this topic, then you can dismiss papal encyclicals on other topics as well. So it's, to me, it seems like a little bit of pick and choose.
Again, we're speculating, but I'm wondering if there's a strategic dimension to this. If the Pope can successfully ignite activism about the environment, it's possibly a recruiting tool, an evangelical tool for spreading the message. And that would be done in a fundamentally new way, don't you think?
Well, I don't see it as a kind of tool for recruiting people. I see it as part of his, you know, message to proclaim the gospel and to, you know, reflect on what Jesus called the signs of the times. And the signs of the times right now is, you know, that we're in trouble, basically. And, you know, in a sense, he has a responsibility to speak out about these things. That's part of his role as Pope.
But doesn't this maybe warm Western liberals back to the church who maybe have been chilled away from the church because of its a focus on family matters and moral sort of, you know, abortion issues, et cetera?
It may. You know, the Pope said a couple of, I guess, 2 years ago that, you know, he felt that those issues were being too focused upon. But, you know, I don't think he's looking in political terms. I think he's looking at this as, you know, a kind of moral responsibility that he has to care for God's creation. And it is kind of an urgent issue. And he has said that in the past. So I don't think he looks at it in political terms as much as in spiritual and theological terms.
Who within the church, before we go, has already taken this up, and will Pope Francis be joining them in some sense?
Oh, well, you know, the writer of the book of Genesis, you know, the writer of the book of Psalms, you know, Jesus Christ, and then certainly more recently, you know, I'm being, you know, a little sort of facetious, of course, but they have, you know, looked at those things. But more recently, Pope Paul VI, St. John Paul, Pope Benedict, they've spoken very strongly about these kinds of things. And I think that, you know, for some reason, we have not paid attention to those utterances of the Pope. And maybe because, you know, this is the right time to talk about it and the time is ripe. So, but I think this is, as I said, the first time it will be a full encyclical, which is one of the highest sort of teaching instruments that the Pope has. So people are going to have to sit up and take notice.
Well, as Isaac Newton once said, the Pope will be standing on the shoulders of giants when he evokes the environment in his encyclical. The Reverend James Martin is a Jesuit priest and editor-at-large of America Media. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.